All right, this is ESH, Electric Sisterhood, home of the best, the fucking best, girls gaming and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Magic Mystic Girl.
And on the guest panel, as we like to always have him around, Deuce is Wild.
Thanks for having me again, ladies.
No problem, Deuce.
We love having you here. It's always
Thank
fun.
You. Thank
always
you.
Fun.
Good to finally meet you, Mystic.
Magic.
Magic.
Either one.
Okay, we'll go with Magic.
Like the dog. I'm like the dog from the old Navy commercials, Magic.
Cue Panda's song from earlier. The Magic song?
Yeah.
The Magic
what?
Song?
Oh, it's magic.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now
like
that we've got that out of everyone's system.
Hopefully.
We hope. We can move on to actually get to the show and do a little bit of business, because I know you all love the business.
Yeah, I love the business.
So, in any case, you got to keep hitting us up on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or, because, we like to stay on the tip of the technology stuff, you can actually contact us now by using esh.mobi, that's esh.mobi, and you can be bounced to the Electric Sisterhood website. So just in case, you're telling somebody about us and you don't exactly know how to spell Electric Sisterhood, or if it's Sisterhood, or any kind of confusion, just cut that all out. Just say esh.mobi, and they'll get it. Moving
Yay.
Right along. Because we're a little short on time, because we had some technical difficulties, but I think we've got that squared away now.
Mm-hmm.
Basically,
sorry.
It's okay. It's the internet. It's
sorry.
Always an adventure when it's the internet. You can check out the Freshware store. We should have some new stuff being posted this weekend, new designs and whatnot. Buy our shit, because we would like to make some money. Not that, we're trying to make a lot of money, but some money would be appreciated.
But there's nothing wrong with a lot of money, though.
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't say no to a lot of money.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is true. There's nothing wrong with a lot of money.
But more or less, we want you to buy our stuff because you love us, and
yeah.
you want to show people how much you love us.
Yeah, that
by
would be
wearing
awesome.
Our shit.
Yeah, that's basically it. That's basically it. Also, we have to get to this week's candy bitch.
Who is it this week?
Well, this is our show. We can really kind of do whatever the hell it is that we want to do. So
you're right. One of us won.
No, I'm awarding two candy bitches this week.
Two?
Yeah.
Two?
Oh, we got
two.
Double candy bitch week.
It's double candy bitch week. So our first candy bitch is Jabberwocky. Yay!
Jabberwocky. That's a great name.
Yeah,
hey, guess
gonna...
what? You know who Jabberwocky is?
No.
He's in our World of Warcraft guild.
Oh,
no,
awesome!
Oh my god, that's awesome!
Hilarious.
He's in my World of Warcraft guild.
Oh, well, that's just perfect. Because Jabberwocky is getting candy.
I'll let him know tonight when we go on our raid. I'll let him know.
Yep. So that's,
oh god.
That's the first candy bitch.
Just speaking my language, I'm trying so hard to contain. Anyway,
so that's our first candy bitch.
Then who's the second one? Don't keep us in suspense.
I liked being suspenseful. See, last week I was having problems being patient, and now you are.
I know.
Anyway, our second candy bitch is being awarded because basically he sent us a comment, and I'm assuming it's he. Sounds like a dude. I think so. If I'm wrong, forgive me, please. And I just love the email. Any email when you start out when you're kissing my ass is going to probably wind up with you getting candy. I can't front. If you come up at us with an email where you talk about how we're awesome, how much you love the website, and how much you are, really into what it is that we do, you're going to get candy. Especially if you recommend some games that I've actually played and like. You're going to be part of my peoples. You're going to be the fresh peoples. And you're going to get candy. So, Yotaro Vegeta, you got candy, bitch!
You got candy!
seriously, anybody who says that we're like the Little Kims of podcasting, dude, you're getting candy.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was damn cool. I read that, I was like, ha-ha! Yeah. So, we got double candy, bitch, day. Enjoy your candy. Get in touch with me so I can get your mailing address so I can put it in the mail. But you are actually the first people getting the new batches of Candy Bitch candy. So, lucky. You're very lucky. Very, very
lucky.
Other than that, I don't have any business right now. So, I'm going to hand the bike to you, Pandalicious. What are you doing with it?
I'm taking us down a trip to memory lane. Yeah, because I can speak today. you know, everyone likes to ask me, you know, how I came to love anime and how I came to like gaming. And to be honest, it comes from cartoons. And more importantly, Saturday morning cartoons. So I figured that I would go and discuss with everyone today my favorite, you know, my favorite cartoons for Saturday morning.
Okay.
And I've brought two to the table today, and maybe you've watched them, maybe you haven't. For those of you who haven't, I suggest you do before I, you know, start calling you punk-ass bitches. Because if you haven't at least heard of these, you're totally a punk-ass bitch.
Okay, I'm sorry, I've never heard of it. Okay.
Punk-ass bitch! All right.
So, yeah,
She was yelling at me before we ever joined the room.
Oh,
she wasn't alone.
I gotta hook you up with that. But, so guys, Pirates of the Dark Water.
Yes.
Who's heard of it?
Yes.
Who knows what I'm talking about?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Fucking yeah.
I still watch it.
And I'm in the midst of having someone obtain it for me. And
because we don't do things illegally or promote the use of any illegal activity whatsoever.
That's right.
It still airs on television, though.
In, like, remote regions of the universe.
Look, all I gotta say is, Pirates of Dark Water, bestest cartoon ever.
Oh, God. It came around in the 1990s. It was probably one of the first cartoon series that actually had a lot of detail in its animation. You know, like, you know, you had your main character who was really sexy and and had this badass attitude, you know, and you find out he's like a lighthouse keeper until he, like, saves this guy who's, like, in this water, who you find out is his father, who was this king of this country, and was like, here, I have to give you this because you need to collect these things so you can go save our kingdom, you know, these 13 treasures of rule. And, you know, when he gives him this magical compass, it's the first one. So technically, he's got to go and find 12.
Yeah.
But the compass leads him to the other 12, you know, or hopefully. You know, and during this whole series, you see him traveling all over, and there's this mystical dark water, obviously, Pirates of Dark Water, and dark water can consume anything that it, like, you know, encloses. So it's kind of like the evil dark blob, but on the ocean. So, you know, you could be in your boat, and you're cruising along, and oh my God, dark water, it eats you, and you're gone. You know, and there you go.
Yeah.
You know, you really don't have a chance, you know, but some of the magical treasures of rule actually kind of dispelled or dispersed it, you know, cleansed it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you happen to fall into some of them and Ren, the main character, happens to be around with his compass, all you have to do is, like, shoot it at this dark water and, like, it would, like, dissipate. No, everyone's saved. Yay.
Yeah.
You know, the sad thing about this series is because the production costs were so expensive and they were missing their air dates that the series was never completed.
Yeah.
And they only ended up getting... You only got to see 8 of the 13 treasures collected, so you never know if he collects all 13, if he ends up saving there.
And the thing was, that where the 8 stopped, it was just getting good. Okay?
You know,
like, the chick that was, like, you know, the sidekick that was digging on him was starting to really dig on him, and then she was getting kind of... Yes, and she was getting kind of badass, and then the whole thing...
Yeah, she found out she had, like, magical powers.
Yeah! She was an ecromancer,
mm-hmm.
and she was able to use elements and, like, life forms and whatever. So she kind of reminded me of a gypsy with nature, like a druid that danced, no, actually, that's actually much like that, you know, who can control, like, nature and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she was very headstrong, you know, and she was kind of bullheaded. But you needed to be. I mean, pirates... They're all like that. it was captivating to watch on Saturday morning. I remember me and Ninja waking up early because it came on maybe at 8 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And even our mom, who doesn't really pay too much attention to much of anything when it comes to TV, she was like, "Up, that pirate thing is coming on." And we were like, "Pirates of Dark Water, Mom."
That pirate thing.
Yeah. Oh, man. Because she doesn't, you know, she's mom. But, I mean, even she got hooked into it, which was really kind of funny because, you know, she's mom.
Yeah, but at the same time, I have to interject. Our mom is pretty cool because she was addicted to the Star Trek, which then got us addicted to the Trek.
Oh, yeah. Mama, and the same way. She got me hooked on Star Trek.
And our mom was also
my parents,
a fan
my
of Dragon Ball,
cool
too.
Like that. My parents don't watch anything that I ever watched.
Oh, see? Yeah, we have a cool mom.
Yeah, our mom is the shit. Shout out to moms! All right, go ahead.
Getting back to it, I think technically there were only 21 episodes that aired. So, you know, they really kind of jammed us up the butt with that. But, I mean, one of the interesting things about this series that I love personally, I'm a big Tim Curry fan. I love him.
Tim Curry rocks my socks.
he drives me in such a way that I couldn't even discuss, like, here or anywhere because it would get me, like, thrown in prison. But he actually had a voice. He had a voice actor role in
mm-hmm.
Pirates of Dark Water.
Yeah.
And I just came across this a couple of days ago when I was looking up the stuff for this cast so I could talk about it. And you literally should have seen my face when I saw him in the cast list. Like, I jumped away from my Mac and I'm like, no. And I was like, yeah, man, like, holy. And he was a bad guy to boot.
Yeah.
Sadly, they didn't make him like a sexy bad pirate because that would have just been awesome. Has
he
ever played a good guy?
Honestly?
What?
Has he ever played a good guy?
Yeah, well, yeah, if you ever saw, what was it, The Worst Witch? He was a good witch.
Oh, man, he was the high council guy.
Yeah.
He was hot.
And
anyway!
He was like, you have the power, you could be the greatest witch ever. And then they're like flying in the sky, and I was like, Tim Curry, take me away. Sorry. Okay.
But did he play the good guy well? Was he okay?
Oh, yeah.
He totally did it.
I can't see me believing him as a good guy.
Yeah.
You have to see him. Not to mention he was wearing really tight pants.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you get to tight pants.
Yeah, so you weren't actually paying attention to his acting.
Right?
I was.
I like his voice, too, but you can't. It's kind of like the David Bowie pants from Labyrinth. You kind of can't help but look.
Please, let's
my
not
God,
talk about
I had such a
Labyrinth.
Crush on Jareth. I had such a crush on him in Jareth.
Okay,
yeah.
We can't talk about this now.
We podcast.
Need, that's really another podcast, but we will be doing an all-Labyrinth podcast very shortly, ladies.
Really?
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yes.
So needless to say, you know, going back into the old school, how we were so driven to watch this cartoon... In my ratings book, it has to have, you know, I wish it had been completed. So, I mean, I can't give it a complete 5 out of 5 because you don't know what the hell happened.
Mm-hmm.
But on the way that it was going, I have to give it a 4 out of 5.
Absolutely.
Because it was just that gripping. But now on the other side of my cartoon spectrum, because I want to talk about something else that was kind of revolutionary when it came to cartoons back in the early 1990s, I think around 1994, here came... The first ever, you know, computerized cartoon. And
CGI.
You guys know what I'm talking about. Yeah, CGI. And it's Reboot.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Reboot. Now,
hey,
I have
you
to
can't
say,
go Dark Water and not do Reboot.
You can't, because they kind of go hand in hand, because I think Reboot would come on, you know, like, at 10 on a Saturday morning. So you got your pirate thing out of your system, and now you're like, man. I wonder what's going to happen on Reboot. Bam, there's Reboot. There you go. You got your full set. You're happy. I actually have to say with Reboot, I didn't realize at first that this came from Canada. So, woot to Canada, because sadly, I'm not too hip on my game, and I found out it was made up there in Canada.
Uh-huh.
It was the only CGI cartoon at the time. This came out before Toy Story came out.
Mm-hmm.
But before Pixar even got big. So Canada was doing something better than us. And we said, hey, let's copy that. And finally, you know, got on the ball. Finally, thank God for us. So, you know, so you've got that whole, the pop culture meets computer melding into one, and you got yourself Reboot, which was a totally awesome, you know, series. I think it goes, what, up to maybe 3 or 4 seasons? I think three? Was it three?
They did three whole seasons.
Did three.
And then they stopped because they couldn't get any more funding for it. And, you know, they had made enough to syndicate it because I believe 4Kids was the network, I think, that distributed it here. And then what happened was because it got so popular and so many people wanted to see it again that they went back and they did 2 more episodes. So really kind of like an OVA type thing to end the story because where they had left off, they were still, you know, with, you know, badass Cyber Bob. They were getting on the net. This is when the internet was just, you know, starting to get popular. You know, a few people outside of people on bulletin boards knew about the internet as a means of communication or finding anything out. And then they did the OVAs to finish up the story, and it ended up being like a musical. I mean, it was awesome.
Oh, I loved the Reboot musical.
I don't think I ever saw the Reboot musical.
Oh, you have to see the musical.
I did the whole series in, like, what, maybe 5 minutes?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, did all 3 arcs. It's like, okay, well, when we last saw it, and it had all the characters in the series actually holding up paper dolls of, like, different versions of the characters, you know, from the season, so you could see how they change. And so, yeah, within the first 5 minutes of the opening of the musical, they broke everything down and explained how they got to this part.
Part. It was, yeah, I do remember that it got dramatically better as it went on.
Yes.
It did. I think a lot of people were surprised by it because, you know, they did this whole computer thing, but they also kind of did this dark atmosphere to it. You know, it kind of makes you think, what the hell happens in my computer? You know, sadly, I have a big imagination, and I'm sure there have been many a times when I would say things to Ninja in my earlier years about Reboot, where she was just like, you're crazy. You know, you're my sister, what?
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, you kind of get the city mainframe, you know, and you got your binomes hitting around, you got your ones, you got your zeros, and everyone's doing their thing. But when users, being us, the people on the outside of the terminal, like, come in and, you know, are using the computer and say we're playing games, this block, this GameCube, would come down on different parts of the city. You know, and whoever was caught in the GameCube would have to play the game. And if the user won, it destroyed that part of the city. In a sense, I think that kind of talks about, like, defragging. You know, I'm kind of trying to use whatever, you know, computer knowledge I do have, you know. And, you know, if the game won, you know, everything would stay the way it was in mainframe. You know, and the city was running, everything was functional, and there was a guardian. Bob.
See, that's why I always say, as Bob intended. That's the Bob I'm talking about.
You know, I think this cartoon series really made Bob very popular, you know, because Bob was blue, Bob came from the Guardian world, so every time a game would come down, he would jump in the game to try to stop the user from winning. You know, but in the sense, they kind of made the user look like the bad guy, because, you know, not that there weren't enough villains running around in Reboot, because, you know, there were so many bad guys, I couldn't keep half of them straight.
Well, and then remember when the virus, she went from being crazy and, like, evil, and then towards the end, yes, hexadecimal, and then at the end, because she has a thing for Bob, he's able to go in and help, you know, figure out her cold, and then she becomes all good, and then sexy, and she changes her mask, and she's like, yeah. I wanted to be hexadecimal. Sorry. I liked her.
She was cool. Heck, she was
dynamic.
You know, she's
like, schizophrenic. You know, she changed her mood guy, and then changed her mask.
You had her bad guy, and then you had her. And half the time, she scared the crap out of me. And Ninja could probably attest to it, because a couple times, like, oh, no, she's coming on.
I know.
And she always had that little dog thing.
The whole first series, every time Hex would come on, she would hide behind me.
Because she scared the fuck out of me, you know, but it doesn't matter, you know, and then, you know, you've got Dot Matrix, who runs this diner, you know,
yeah,
and you've
like
got
Dot.
This little brother, Enzo, who wants to be a guardian, you know, and he's green,
You know, and at one point, Bob goes missing. And Sally, because my mind is now failing me, I can't remember exactly why Bob goes missing.
Well, I can tell you why Bob went missing.
Yeah, why did he...
Because the guy who did his voice got a movie and couldn't do the voice acting for the series.
Damn you, voice actor guy.
Hey, SAG no, needs to pay more. Right,
so that's why Bob went missing.
Did he explain why he went missing?
He got lost to the net.
He got lost to the net. That's right. You know, and while they were trying to look for Bob, they had to find someone else to be the guardian, because without the guardian, a game could come, and, you know, no one would know what to do, and the user would win, and they would go mainframe. So, who steps up to that but Enzo? Now, Enzo's got to be, like, what? 12?
10?
Yeah, well, in the series, he's even younger than that. I think in the series, he's supposed to be, like, not even Rev 1 yet, which means he wouldn't be more than, like, 7 years old. And Enzo's
young. So he's young, you know, and he takes it on. He gets his little, you know, emblem so he can enter in games. And, you know, everyone's giving him a hard time because, one, he's young, and, two, he was green.
And he's bad at it in the beginning because he's a kid.
He's a kid. Yeah. But, I mean, I can remember a couple of people like, man, you can't be a guardian. You're not blue.
Yeah.
You know?
Guardians are blue, man. They're not green. And then the game sprite comes. She was hot. Well, when they got older.
Yes, she was.
Under Ella. I loved her, especially when she was older.
Yes.
Because they did have her younger too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did, and that's how I met. Didn't Enzo bring her out by sharing his code?
She is a game sprite, and he saved her from the game by sharing his code. He took his little emblem and then put it on her thing and made her a part of mainframe.
So you got
her. I haven't watched any of these episodes for years, but.
But see, it's coming right back like you know. It's never been gone.
It never left me.
Yeah. I'm regretting that
point.
I never got into it.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't get into it.
I know that the first season was really hard to get into because it was kind of a little sporadic, but they really, by the second season, brought it together.
They really pulled it together.
There were enough jokes, enough adult humor, and enough, if you were into computers at all, enough actual rational computer stuff that you go, yep, some geeks were writing on this thing or helping, and they get it. And so the second and the third seasons are really better. I mean, at one point, you know, because they get lost in the net because they're searching for Bob, and they finally find him on a pirate ship, which is a piece of pirate code. But Enzo's all, like, badass. He's got, like, a 5 o'clock shadow and spiky hair and rides on, like, a motorcycle of light so that, you know, homage to Tron. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and,
he was hot.
Yeah, and he was hot when he got older.
He was calling himself Matrix by that part.
Yep.
Well, his name was Enzo Matrix.
And yeah. So he just went, I think he was just calling by Matrix.
Yeah.
But I mean, I could just remember that one episode. This is when Enzo was a guardian. He was starting to get really good, and people were starting to have faith in him for protecting the city. And he goes into a game with the game sprite and his dog. And it was kind of like a Mortal Kombat game.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Frisket. Frisket was awesome.
Frisket. You know, and Enzo looked like Scorpion, you know, and the sprite was like this cool, like, fighter girl. And, like, you know, the dog was like a beast dog thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he was sitting there and he's seeing the user choose, like, this angel guy to fight. You know, and he's like, I got to make sure that he doesn't choose, you know, the sprite. You know, or the dog. I got to get him to choose me. And you see him playing through all the other characters, and he's just beating the crap out of him. And, you know, and Enzo's kind of getting a little worried, but he gets chosen. So, you know, he's all fighting, and he loses. You know, mind you, when the guardian loses and the user wins the game, you know, it takes a bit of the city and whatnot. And in order to save himself and, you know, his dog and the sprite, he changes all their codes to whatever the game logo was. And they went with the game. So that's why, you know, Enzo disappears from mainframe for a while. So, overall, this series just had so much going on. There's a lot of feedback because a lot of people liked it
mm-hmm.
because of the fact that it had all the computer humor. It was appealing more to adults or older people more than children.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very surprised by that. They weren't expecting this kind of turnout.
Well, no, because they put an awful lot of thought into it. Like, if you watch it, you know, for me as a computer geek, especially now going back to Reboot, to see, you know, just how much effort they really put into, okay, well, you know, games, you know, when you are playing a game, you know, the way that things work on a computer, as the user starts, you know, winning, saving files and things like that, it eats up space on the disk. So that's why when a game would come in, if the user won, it would have to keep a record of the user winning, and that's why it would eat up that space where the game landed. You know, so knowing that hierarchy, that they put that into the functionality of the city and carried that all the way through, yet you respect that because they follow existing laws and then add humor and good visuals and just fun stuff on top.
Yeah, I'm gonna need to go back and watch this again because the only thing I paid attention to the first time around was how shiny their hair was.
But I mean, it was just one of those series that you never forget. I mean, obviously we're sitting here going, man, I can totally remember that episode. Oh, I can totally remember when this happened. You know, it's just something that it was just so good that no matter how many years it's been away, you can't let it go.
You know, and I remember seeing it come on, but you know why I never got into it? Because I was hooked into what I still say today killed the Saturday morning cartoons, and that was the teen show genre, like Saved by the Bell, Hang Time. That's
I hated Hang Time.
I wanted to hang myself. that stuff. And I would see Reboot coming on, and it looked interesting, but nope, I had to get to my Hang Time. Yeah. I had to get to my
Hang Time.
Oh,
man, I hated Hang Time.
Yeah, no. I never watched Hang Time, but I was totally obsessed with Saved by the Bell.
I liked Saved by the Bell, too. I looked at that.
The original, not the spin-off.
Right, I didn't like the new generation at all.
Oh, God, that was horrible. We didn't. When it was kind of like, you know, any show, when they ever do the spinoff, it's usually never as good as the original.
The original.
They were horrible.
Okay,
there are a few
exceptions, like Frasier. Okay, that ran for
Frasier.
Frasier was great, and it ran for 11 years, and, you know, that being the only spinoff out of Cheers. Okay, that was a successful spinoff. But,
all right, I'm gonna get myself lynched for this, but I never watched Frasier or Cheers.
What?
Okay. Okay.
You are getting knocked down on my friend list.
That's another podcast. We will talk about that later, Magic.
Oh my God! What is wrong with you?
Regardless, though, everyone.
I'm sorry. We'll talk about this.
Yeah, we will. Don't you worry.
Trouble.
So if I had to give, you know, now mind you, after all this, they do find Bob, like Ninja mentioned. They bring him back.
Yeah, and he's got dreads.
And he's all like, man, you know, I don't know what to do anymore. And no. Now mind you, this whole time, you know, there's always been that major villain, Megabyte.
Yeah.
Oh. Megabyte.
And yeah, he scared the fuck out of me too. I didn't care for him much. And so I'm so glad that he got his in the end. Because I was like, yep, you're getting yours. Just sit tight.
Always get there.
Coming. I was like, and it came, and I was all like, victory.
Did he get downsized to a kilobyte?
He got eradicated and he got eradicated out to the internet, what was left of his code.
Man, Bob went down.
The whole thing that was great about it was it ended with a reboot, because see, during all this time when Bob was gone and Enzo was gone, Megabyte just ran rampant across mainframe, so it was like pretty much about to be destroyed. And so basically, the hard drive was crashing on the user's computer. So they're trying to figure out a way to save mainframe, and they can't figure it out. And so Bob's like, no, we need to let the user do a reboot. If it crashes and he reboots, everything will go back to the way it was. And so they're like, everything's crumbling, and they're like, oh God, please let the user do a reboot, otherwise we're all screwed. And you know, Bob kisses Dot, and then Matrix kisses What's-Her-Face, and the dog's just kind of looking like, I don't have anybody to kiss. And then, so it all starts crashing down, and then you get to a terminal where it just says reboot, Y/N, and the user kind of stands there for a moment and hits Y. Now, everybody had their badges in the mode for being mainframe, so the reboot happens and the city rebuilds itself and all the data gets restored, except that Matrix and his girlfriend still had their IDs in game sprite mode, so it restored a younger Enzo. So then you had Enzo and Matrix at the end. So then Dot was kind of like, huh, okay, little brother, big brother. And then no Megabyte, and then Hexadecimal was good.
And then everything was restored in Mainframe, and it was awesome.
Yeah,
and then
of the
they
reboot.
Did a musical recap.
Yeah.
Just in case you didn't follow it, yeah. Here's the musical.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome.
It was awesome.
Deuce, I absolutely recommend it.
It's a 5 out of 5.
You gotta
go watch it.
Oh, that good? 5 out of 5?
Good.
Hey, and she don't give up those 5s out of 5. Easy.
Wait. 5 out of 5 is the way she's remembering it from her childhood.
Yeah.
No. Listen to this. I, you know, just in my memory of remembering Knight Rider, would give it a 5 out of 5. I went back.
Come on. Dude, house off in tight pants and a fro. That gives a 5 out of 5 for me.
Okay, my car, the car kit? I named my cat after that car, okay? But I went back and watched it, and it was the worst show I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, you know, yeah. So memory is not always right.
I don't believe that reboot would be one of those things where I would go back and be like, nah, dude, this totally isn't doing it for me. I mean, yeah. I'm purposely going out of a way to have someone obtain it for me because it's just one of those series that it is that good.
Yeah. I would give it four for me.
Look, I gotta say, Pandalicious. You just need to go to Amazon because they released a box set that has all of the seasons.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm there like shareware, baby.
Yeah, so.
And with that, that's all I've got for everybody today. Uh-oh. So, you know, if you guys, you know, I might want to put up a post that might be a quick question, you know, about what your favorite, you know, Saturday morning cartoons is, please, by all means.
Let us know.
Post on it when I put it up.
Yeah. Uh-oh. And, you know what time it is?
What time is it?
It's time to pass the mic of 1,000 truths.
I can't believe they're actually making that a sword in the expansion. But anyway.
Oh, I knew it was coming.
Wait. How do you pass it from one character to another?
You cannot pass the mic of 1,000 truths to a noob.
/I? No. Allie, I can bypass all that because I'm just super elite like that. So I'm just going to pass it off.
Oh, here we go.
And Who's gonna take it from me?
I'll take it.
All right. You could take it.
Okay.
All right.
Have it.
Well, I'm actually sticking back in the past with Panda, and I'm going back to 97 or 98. I'm not real sure. Back when Squeenix was Squaresoft, I'm going back to their first shooter game.
Ooh, you're really taking it back.
I'm taking it back.
I should have called this episode Old School Friday. Bring it. All right.
This is so old that I got a demo of this game back when I first bought my PlayStation.
Wow.
So I played this demo disc until it, like, melted, and I loved it. So now, 10 years later, I finally got my hands on a copy of it. So this game is called Einhander.
Okay.
And it's a story.
Einhander. Got it. See?
So here's the story. Over 100 years ago, the moon was settled, and there was a city called Selene that was created near the South Pole. And after a few years after that, a war broke out because the Earth felt challenged by the growing independence of the moon colony. You know, like, American, Britain, anybody?
Power of the moon, I will punish you. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, slap yourself for that.
Pretty much. Sorry. So by the power of the moon, they punished them, they bombed the Earth from orbit and reduced most of the surface to wasteland.
Well, that was pleasant of them.
So, that one. So that was the first moon war. And you know that any time you call something the first such and so, there's going to be
there's going to be more.
Yeah, just a
couple. Although the war was so horrible and so many people died that there was really nobody left to fight, so the war kind of stopped. And 50 years later, it flared up again, of course, you know. So we have to have our second moon war. So
right.
Selene, you know, being on the moon, didn't have shit for agriculture and all that, so they had to invade the Earth.
Of course. There's no other choice.
But they had vast technological advantages with their weapons and their killing and all that. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, no, Earth's going to have to surrender. But Earth is huge and has hundreds of people. Kind of like Russia. They don't have the equipment, but they've got so many people that they can just overwhelm anyways.
I'll tell you right now, Earth, hung like a horse.
All right. But anyways, so Earth turns the tide, and the lunar armies have to retreat. So rather than this, like, face-to-face thing, the Selenian intelligence has to turn to this highly classified operation that's got deadly prototype tactical fighters and pilots who are trained for suicide runs.
Wow.
For 2 years, these kamikaze attacks rain down on the Earth. And the suicide assault squad named Einhander became a whispered synonym for the gods of death. Okay.
Wow.
So in December of 2245, this is about 50 so years after the first war, Selene sent 3 tactical fighters down to Earth, and their target is the Imperial Capital.
And this it's always the Imperial Capital.
You know, they should do it, like, at a Starbucks. Like, this one local Starbucks to be the, like, target. You should rally to save that
the
Starbucks.
The caramel macchiato will be ours!
So, anyway. this is the last mission of the Einhander.
Okay.
And you, as the player, are an Einhander pilot, of course.
Right.
So you're the one, like, invading. You're the bad guy.
Uh-huh, you're the bad guy.
All right, so your mission is to fly deep into enemy territory,
right,
gathering valuable recon.
Right, my little droogies. No, sorry.
Your secondary orders are to capture weapons and ammunition with your fighter's manipulator arm. I'll explain that one.
Right.
There's no final objective, no escape route, no return vector. You are to fight to the end. The survival rate for Einhander runs is 0. Most
wow.
have little hope and fewer choices. Either they're exiled prisoners from Mars. Okay, what's with that? Why are prisoners always from Mars? Okay,
I don't know.
Because it's part of our Fuck Mars program. Didn't you see Mars Invades? They're bastards.
The prisoners should come from Uranus.
I don't even want to talk about what comes out of Uranus, okay?
Oh, jeez. All right, so... this is the very beginning. As you descend from the clouds, you can see hundreds of lights blanketing the Earth's surface. Spotlights trace the sky, tracking your ship. Your EOS system detects the approach of at least 100 anti-gravity armored cars. You must get through them and enter the city. You turn on your firing control system and push your fighter into a power dive. Your destiny awaits. So that's
that
pretty
sounds
much,
really cool.
Yeah, that's pretty much directly out of the booklet here. So.
Man.
Okay, now this
if I
talking.
Had a man part, it would probably be like standing ready to fight.
Okay, well, you've given Pandalicious a boner, so I guess now you probably ought to, you know, tell
all
us
right,
your experience
right.
before she pops.
Oh, jeez. Okay. While you're playing, you have a choice of 3 ships. You got the Endymion FRS MK2, the Endymion FRS MK3, and the Astraea FGA MK1. And the only difference between these ships is how many gun pods you can pick up.
Okay.
Throughout the game, when you destroy enemies, you have a chance to collect their gun pods.
All right.
So each ship can store a different amount. The Endymion 2 can load 3 gun pods, the Endymion 3 can load 1, and the Astraea can load 2. All right?
Okay.
Now, each ship can only equip one gun pod at a time, so there's lots of extra button pressing involved to switch stored weapons in and out.
Right.
My favorite ship is the Endymion 3, because it only loads one gun pod at a time, but to balance that out, it's got stronger machine guns.
Okay.
So, yeah, the Endymion 3.
So you get more rapid fire.
Yeah,
to balance
I'm a button masher. I don't need to learn combos and stuff, because that just drives me nuts. All right, so this is a side-scroller. You guys know what a side-scroller is?
Oh, hell yes. I miss side-scrollers.
That's
the best games ever made a side-scroller.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Harrier! Space Harrier, man! Come on! All right, sorry.
All right, so for everybody else who's not a total nerd like us, a side-scroller is when the screen moves even if you're not pressing, like, forward or ignition or whatever. And this is a totally arcade-style game. There are no save points at all. If you stop the game, you have to start from the beginning.
Well, the way that Bob intended. Okay, that's how the arcade worked. When you ran out of quarter, you had to go and start level 1-1 again.
Yeah, they've got continue screens and everything.
Yes!
All right, so you got your 3 ships and 2 unlockable ships, and you have to fly through 7 levels. Now, I looked that up, and I was like, 7 levels? What in the, you know, because there's super really long levels,
mm-hmm.
So it's more like, you know, 7 worlds or whatever.
Right.
The larger version would be.
So when attempting this game, make sure you've gone to the bathroom, Make sure that you've eaten.
No, you can pause it. You can pause it.
Oh, okay.
Just don't turn it off.
Just don't turn it off.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So, but instead of save points and all that, what the game does for you, this I haven't seen anywhere else, is that it remembers you as a player. And after every game, it'll give you an evaluation, which is like these three graphs that analyze every aspect of the game and how many enemies you shot down and how many gun pods you picked up and how long the boss battles took and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see in which areas you're improving and what blah, whatnot from game to game.
Yeah, that's kind of neat.
Which is kind of cool, actually. Mm-hmm. I played a game earlier today, and I've been going downhill ever since I bought the game. But anyways, you really didn't need to know that.
That's okay.
No, yeah. We're all awesome gamers over here. We never lose.
Never, ever.
Never, ever.
Oh, no, I lose all the time. I messed up on DG the other night, but anyway. Anyway, go on, Magic.
Oh, jeez. Okay. So anyways, this was created around the time of Final Fantasy. So that's the kind of graphics it's got. It's got decent graphics. It's still that still hold up and stuff. But I'm very sad. I think the side scroller has gone the way of the dodo bird, because as graphics and stuff got better, things became 3D, and then it wasn't a side scroller anymore. It was a side to side to front to back to up and down scroller.
It was an all-around scroller.
It was up in place. You
didn't expect the camera to go, scroller.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to say the comment that came in my mouth.
Oh, dear. Anyway. She's censoring herself. It must have been real bad.
Yeah, it was. It was awful. I was like, you know, I'd have to put an extra explicit tag on the podcast if I said that.
Yeah, yeah.
We'd have to sell this into, like, a brown paper bag.
We would.
You gotta be careful. Jack Thompson might be coming for you pretty soon.
Oh, I wish Jack Thompson would. I've got a few words for Jackie Boy. But anyway.
Go on, Jack. I'm listening.
Okay.
All right. I totally lost my train of thought. All right. So this is before all the AIs and everything. Mm-hmm. So although there's like hundreds of millions of things shooting at you,
mm-hmm.
they're always in the same pattern.
Right.
So assuming you can figure out the pattern, you can probably make it through. But I haven't made it past like the third boss. So I still have four more bosses to go.
Oh, well then.
But it's everything's like a really cool mecha. You got like this like whole like Godzilla dragon thing is the first boss.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all in sections. It's all in sections. So you like destroy a section of it and flips over and it's got a different gun that it's going to shoot you with.
Uh-huh.
So it's really cool. I love it. And I'm addicted to it. But yeah, I thought of this the second I read that Comfort Games review online. And so although this is not necessarily a comfort game because it raises my stress level. It's like, no. Yeah, I'm sitting there yelling at, no, don't you dare shoot me and all that. So, but I'm addicted to it. So I guess I could kind of call it my comfort game.
Right.
So I'm going to pass the
mic of a thousand truths.
What? I'm going to pass the microphone to Ninja.
See, this is why you should have been at the recording last week. We had a meeting.
It's the mic of a thousand truths.
It's the mic of a thousand truths.
The mic of a thousand truths.
Yes,
fine.
The mic of a thousand truths. Slaying the lies of liars in the gaming and anime industries since 2006.
More Hot Pockets! Anyway. Anyway, go on, Magic. Pass the mic.
Alright, yeah. I'm passing the mic.
Gimme. I can touch it.
You got it?
I got it.
Oh, okay.
It's heavier. And
how are you
going
to use it, Ninja?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make it sweaty.
It's okay. It's alright. Well, I got a lot of stuff to talk about, and I'm going to do my damnedest to talk about it all as fast as I possibly can. Because there's been a little bit of stuff going on this week. Originally, I was going to talk about Samurai Warriors, because I finally got it in Samurai Warriors 2, actually, on the Xbox 360. I actually got it in from Gamefly this week, which, shout-outs to Gamefly, because you're awesome!
Whoop!
Yeah, double boot. And unfortunately, so much other stuff has happened. I'm actually now just going to do a write-up about Samurai Warriors 2 sometime this weekend because I really want to get to this other stuff. So the first thing I want to talk about is the PS3 because you know how much I love Sony.
Yep, and Sony loves you.
Sony heart me long time. and I tried to very desperately get my hands on a pre-order for the PS3. As you know, I came up with zilch zero nada.
Even after she sent her minion.
Yeah. Oh, no, I sent the minion after the Wii. And unfortunately, the minion was 36 out of 35.
Aww.
So I was close.
Even that was short-lived.
So far away. And so I felt bad about not being able to get the pre-order for the longest time. Because I was like, you know, I really wanted to get the system in to see out really how heavy it is. Because supposedly, according to the information that's going to be on packaging, sucker's going to weigh about 15 pounds. Like, in the box.
Holy crap.
It's yeah, heavy.
Get that to your friend's house to play on.
Yeah, because you have to remember, it's got a PS2 built in because they haven't been able to get the cell processor backwards compatible yet with PlayStation 2
but
and PlayStation 1
is it,
games.
Is it the PS, the big PS2 or the baby PS2 that's inside?
It's got the PS2 architecture, and so it has the chip, it has a rendering, rendering processor in there as well. So there are two architectures in the box, and they've got to cool both architectures in the box, which is why the box is so big.
Wow!
Once they get the cell processor to be backwards compatible with the PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 1 games, they will stop building in the PlayStation 2 architecture, and it will just be a PS3. I think that's when you'll see a smaller box come out, but not before then. So I thought, well, I wasn't able to get a pre-order. They're not going to be able to ship more than, I think the number, the last time I saw it was less than 700,000 units. Some places were even saying only 400,000 units on launch day. So I thought, well, you know, after the first of the year, they'll get the laser problems out of the way. By, you know, probably the end of February, I'll probably be able to actually walk into a store and probably grab a box. So I figured no big whoop. Well, I get an email from one of the ESH faithful that says, you got to see what these pre-orders are going for on eBay. And I'm like, pre-orders for what? Because they weren't very specific. It was early in the morning, and I totally understand. So I follow the link, and it's for a pre-order on eBay. Somebody was putting their pre-order for a PS3 up for auction. So they don't even have a box in hand. Because, you know, eBay tends to get crazy around the launch of new systems. Everybody who actually has one in their hand will put it up for auction. And, you know, there were Xbox 360s when the system first launched, core systems that went for $2,500 a piece when the core systems themselves only cost $299. So I just wanted to see what these pre-orders were actually going for. And the one that I saw actually had closed because somebody had done the buy it now for $1,500 for this dude's pre-order. Of a PlayStation 3.
Holy moly, wow.
Okay, and it wasn't even a pre-order for a PlayStation 3 with the high-def thing, not the $600 box.
It was the cheapest box out of the two.
Yeah, it was the $1,500 for the $499 box.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Okay.
Wow.
And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And so I started doing some research, and they had stories on Kotaku, which is like becoming one of my more favorite websites to go to. If you don't go to Kotaku.com or Destructoid.com, you're really doing yourself a disservice. You gotta go. I love Destructoid. Alright, so anyway, so I was reading the stuff that they wrote about the pre-orders, and over at Kotaku, they're like, yeah, it's completely gone crazy. There have been over a dozen auctions. The average of the auction has been $1,200. And people are also selling their pre-orders for Wiis, but those are only topping out at $500 because there's going to be plenty of Wiis. Okay, yeah. Nintendo's had their chips from July. There was a rumor that they might even do an early sneak launch and actually launch the system at the end of October as opposed to November 17th and really kind of get the jump on Sony. I still don't know if that's actually really going to happen, but the fact of the matter is that a lot of their games are done and ready to be on shelves and boxes.
Well, do they really need to get a jump on Sony, honestly?
Well, you know, I mean, honestly, it's a good question.
Sony's on the ground and Nintendo's just kicking them.
Oh, yeah, and it gets even better, ladies. because Sony had to put out their profit forecast this week. And they kind of said, you know, we're going to have to go back and look at the numbers because I think we're going to have to rework them. And yeah, they had to cut their profits forecast earnings almost in half.
Not surprised.
Not surprised.
Yeah, not only that, but Jack Trenton, the co-chairman. Yeah, Jack Trenton, that's his name. Was quoted in an article, and this is from Bloomberg, okay, where he said about the launch date of November 17th, that the honest answer about the launch date is that it's more of a target for PlayStation 3 shipments.
No. Oh, no.
Clearly, they've had production issues.
No
so
shit.
So now what the consensus is that launch date of November 17th, that everybody's been selling these pre-orders on eBay and getting their pre-orders for. Yeah, it's a soft launch date because it might be 2 weeks after that, a week after that, a month after that, before boxes actually ship.
Oh, God.
Here's the thing. I found out earlier this week when talking to one of the guys that works at the local GameStop store, he was telling me that same thing you just said. And he said the people who did get pre-orders of the PlayStation 3, on their receipt, it said something about you are not guaranteed a system on launch date. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, what does that mean? And he said that's because they may not be shipping on that date. That's what he told me. They may not be shipping on that date. People are basically paying money for something they might not get.
Possibility of getting it on the launch date.
Sony said that you were going to pay for potential.
And
you're gonna. It's gonna be
a thing.
So there are gonna be a lot of people that are gonna be pissed off because remember, in order to pre-order a PS3, you couldn't trade.
You had to put down money
or systems. You had to put down $100 cash. And so can't get back in cash. So if you go on the 17th and decide that you don't want this pre-order anymore, all they're gonna do is give you a store credit.
Holy people are not going to be happy about that one.
You will have to fight in order to get them to reimburse your credit card. If you put the charge on your credit card, you'll have to fight to get them to reverse that charge. Because on their paperwork, they say that all that stuff, that this doesn't guarantee you this product on the date, that it only guarantees you that when they get the product in, you will have first shot at actually getting your hands on it. That's all that paper means. So
I laughed so hard when he told me that. It was that was crazy.
Wow.
Yep. So anyway, so I thought that was great. So I felt better about not getting the pre-order. Because I'm like, you know, they may not even ship these things until the first of the year. So, you know, I don't think that there's going to be a problem with anybody getting the Wii. But even, you know, this... the co-chairman, when he was asked directly, you know, well, isn't that going to give Microsoft and Nintendo a huge leg up? And he's like, yeah, you know, it's going to be a big hill to climb, you know, because, I mean, one of the interviewer at GameSpot even said, because, you know, we're talking about mothers here, really, as far as the shopping holiday season. We're talking about moms going out and picking their budgets for their Christmas shopping to pick up these systems. All right, and if anybody out there's wallet's as tight as mine, when you're tossing up, you know, $100 for a piece of paper that says that you can then spend $500 to pick up a box maybe in January, not even guaranteed for Christmas, or you can walk into Target and pick up a $250 Wii box that has the system and a game in it, and the game has actually 5 games. You know, it's not just one game because it's Wii Sports. So you get the bowling thing, the tennis thing, the baseball thing, you know, all of those facets for $250.
Oi. Oi.
Yeah, that's going to be a little bit of a leg up.
Yeah, that's not a hard choice.
It's really not. And then on the other side of that, you have Microsoft that's still hanging back. And, you know, the core system is $299. The premium system is $399. Yes, you got to pay for the nice tier of Xbox Live. But at the same time, it's got an install base. There are a lot of games out now on the system, even if you don't like most of them. There's a lot to choose from now, as opposed to basically vaporware, because that's what the PS3 is right now. They don't have boxes. Nintendo has boxes. We don't know how many. Microsoft has boxes because you can walk into Best Buy and see them. And then you've got the mythical PlayStation 3 box that only people that have seen it have been a few test people that Sony has kind of controlled the environment that they've been in. Otherwise, they've been looking at mock-up boxes under glass.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just had to do a little pissing on Sony thing because they're pissing on everybody else. I think they're going to learn very quickly that it was a huge, huge mistake. I'm all for advancements in gaming, please believe me. And we've had the conversation about creativity and how to, you know, can make environments that are conducive for users to really have a good time and enjoy. But I think that it's going to be a little bit before Sony digs themselves out of the hole. I mean, they finally had to admit that they have to recall their own batteries in their own computers this last week. They didn't want to, but they did. So they finally done a recall of batteries, Sony batteries, in their own bio systems. Because they can blow up.
Yeah. All lithium batteries have a chance to blow up.
Yeah, but Sony's were actually blowing up. There's lots of pictures of blown up laptops.
Boom!
Anyway, that's my little Sony piece. And then finally, I have to talk about Bully. And I have to talk about Bully because everybody made this huge, huge case about this game before anybody saw it.
Yep.
Okay, our buddy, our pal, Jack Thompson, dusted off his fangs and came back out into the media and, you know, did his little thing.
Song and dance.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a way to not say anything that would get me slapped with a libel and or slander suit. I can never remember which is which. I think slander's when you say it and libel's when you write it. Anyway.
Yep.
Thank you.
neither are any good.
Neither are any good to have.
Just ask me, being the CJ major that
this
I am.
This is true. I could have asked you. So you had that. Then you had the Peaceaholics group, which was precious, which was the dude who grabbed a bunch of inner city kids, put them on a bus, took them over to the headquarters of Rockstar's development teams, and picketed outside their offices about how Bully was an awful game, it was going to promote violence, and that it was going to get kids killed and things like that. It was bad, it was evil, and Rockstar should be drug out into the streets and flogged. And I thought the best quote that I saw out of Jack Thompson was that he called the game a Columbine simulator.
Oh, jeez.
What?
Oh, jeez.
How out of touch do you have to be with reality? And how sick and twisted of a person can you be to equate a video game, which is basically just pixels on a screen, with what happened at Columbine? But he did.
Right, somebody needs to put a plunger on his ass because he's now just talking shit. He needs a colonic.
Now, here's
bad.
The thing. I got the game when it came out. I've been playing it. I have it 40% completed.
Mm-hmm.
And I have yet, nothing has died in that game yet. Nothing. Nothing. So 40% of the game completed, and I have killed nothing. Nothing has been killed. It's not a killing game. There's no killing in it.
No.
You just beat the crap out of people?
No, it's not even like that. Basically, the guy who developed the game, what's his name? His last name's Barrera. But basically, he designed this game after his own life. He had been bullied when he went to private school when he was younger. And so it's more about the social status thing of going through high school. So there's a lot of stuff that you'll identify with. You know, you'll be mm-hmm. playing as Jimmy and going through, and then somebody who's, you know, a geek or a nerd will start getting picked on by a bully, and then you have to choose whether or not to jump in and help the dude and then get picked on yourself, or to walk away, and mm-hmm. the consequences that come along with doing that. Okay.
So is it kind of like a fable kind of thing? You can pick your own morality?
There's different factions, just like in school, different cliques in his school, the nerds, the jocks, the rich kids, the smart kids, And basically, it's broken up into chapters. In one chapter, you're pulling pranks on, like, the nerds. The nerds are messing with you, you know. They won't let you hang out with them because you're not smart enough. You're not into their games or whatever. So you're pulling pranks on them in order to work your way up into their social status.
Uh-huh.
And then next chapter, you move on to the jocks.
And the jocks are picking on them.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you say it's to build your social status from scratch?
Yes. Basically,
so
when you first get to the school,
like
everybody hates you.
You're like a new kid who
you're
just transferred.
You're a freshman.
Everybody hates you when
you
first get to the
transfer.
School.
Oh, my God. Wow, that sucks.
Basically, if you pull pranks on the nerds, you lose faction with them, but yet you gain faction with, you know, another group, maybe the jocks or whatever. You pull pranks on the jocks, you lose faction with the nerds, and so forth and so on. And it's just high school pranks.
That sounds very
awesome.
That sounds kind of cool.
It is. It's fun.
And that's what the designer of the game said he wanted to put in. Basically, what happened was it came from an experience where he had, where one of his friends, who was basically, you know, a nerd, was being picked on by a bunch of punks because he was reading a Dungeons & Dragons book. And he stepped in and defended him, fought the punks off, and all that kind of stuff. And this is where that experience comes from. So the game is more about the stuff that we all can identify with, which is going through high school, trying to fit in, trying to find your footing, doing things to try and, you know, be able to sit with this group or that group when you're at lunch and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not about being a Grand Theft Auto ripoff.
Exactly.
Going for hot coffee?
You know what the biggest challenge in the game is? And it's the ironic part about it. It goes through progression of days, and, you know, you have so much to do in a certain day. You have to beat a class at this time. Class starts at 9:30, then there's another class that starts at, I think, 2:30 or something like that. That's the biggest obstacle, is making it to class, because you can barely get anything done if you don't make it to class, because you have the prefects, which are hall monitors. You have them coming after you if you don't make it to class. So that's the biggest challenge in the game, trying to get to class so you can complete the game.
That's funny.
Wow.
That to me is the biggest ironic part about it. And I have the most fun going through the classes. You have to pass all the classes, like Art 1, Art 2, Shop 1, Shop 2 goes all the way to 5. There's photography.
Are they like mini games?
Yeah, they're just mini games. Like for Art 1, they give you, it's mixed up letters, and you have to piece together as many words as possible in order to pass the class. Then you move on to Art 2, and there's longer words you have to piece together. It's fun. Photography class, basically she gives you an assignment to where you have to run around the school or around town and take pictures of certain things, you know, and that's how you pass Art. You're in yearbook class, basically you have to take pictures of every student that goes to that school in the course of the game. You have to take pictures of every student that goes to that school in order to fill up your yearbook. It's stuff like that.
That's cool.
It's fun. It's fun.
All right. This doesn't sound like such a bad game. So why does this guy have such a strong sore spot about it?
Because, first of all, Jack Thompson likes being heard. I fully believe that he is a person that, I think in his mind, he thinks that he's doing good, but he's not, because he's not informed. He heard this game title, Bully. He heard that Rockstar was attached to it. Let's face it, the hot coffee thing came out. Rockstar was, a sitting duck. And just leaped to the conclusion that this game was evil. So much so that he tried to get a judge in Florida to actually declare the game a public nuisance, which would keep it from being sold in that district. And went to court. Rockstar had to get an attorney and things like that. They had to bring in people. And the judge actually watched people play the game. Because the guy's like, no, you can't just watch the tape that they sent, because, you know, you won't see what's really going on. But you need to see all these acts of violence and things like that. And so the judge went through, watched people playing this game, and he basically put Thompson in his place. It dismissed the case, and the judge, Ronald Friedman, said, yes, there's a lot of violence as far as violent acts, okay, because, you know, smacking somebody with, what do you call it, a slingshot is a violent act, okay, mm-hmm. But the judge said it's a lot less than what we see on television every night. Yeah. And he dismissed it.
Or on the news.
Well, yeah, that's what he's talking about. On the news, in the media, at school. There's no way. And so Jack Thompson wrote the judge this huge-ass long letter and basically said that he was condemning kids to be beaten to death with baseball bats in their schools. And as soon as one of those kids died, he was going to come back into this judge's office with the mother of that child so he could be condescending to the mother of that child and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, dude, you just don't get it.
I read that letter. I'm looking at it right now. I read it, and it was basically he was crying because the judge didn't rule in his favor. He was sore losing.
He's a punk-ass bitch.
Blowing hot air.
Well, even more than that, you know, there are some things out in the industry that do need to be restructured. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that everybody of any age should be able to play any game. Your 7-year-old should not be playing Grand Theft Auto.
Nope.
They shouldn't be playing Ghost Recon. They absolutely shouldn't be playing God of War. They shouldn't even see you playing God of War. But those games...
They shouldn't play any of the Tom Clancy games.
No, but those games aren't for them. They shouldn't have access to them. There's no store in this country that will sell Ghost Recon to a 7-year-old at the counter by himself. His parent has to be there. Somebody over the age of 18 has to be there. So if you want to crusade for that, fine. I will stand behind you on that, Mr. Thompson. Because I don't think that violent games or games with any kind of sexual content or even games with some severely tongue-in-cheek kind of commentary going on should be viewed by 7-year-olds or even by 10-year-olds. But declaring a game as a nuisance to society or trying to blame visuals in a game for making people do horrible things not only is a slippery slope, but it's wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, does that mean that this game is a menace to the U.S. while drinking its juice in its hood?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know,
sorry, I was thinking that when you first said news to society, that I gotta make that plug, I'm sorry.
I understand. I do. I wouldn't love you the way I do if you didn't. But I think that, you know, there are things to crusade about, and there are things to not. Yes, the ESRB is flawed.
Yeah.
But it's better than not having a system at all or having to wait for government approval. Because if the government comes in and has to regulate it, it takes long cycles now for games to get developed?
How long
do you think it's going to take for a government entity to play through a game all the way to completion and all unlockables before they could then send to committee their findings to then have the committee review it and then find on what the rating for this game should be?
Man, we're never going to get games if we have to go through that.
That's right. And then the industry crumbles. And all those people going through the guide hall right now down in Texas to become game developers are screwed. I think that where Jack Thompson actually could have been helpful to the industry and actually made a name for himself, not as, you know, the butthole joke, but as a champion for the industry, is if he had actually championed the right angle for reform and was actually knowledgeable about this stuff. See, that's the problem. He doesn't know really anything about what he's talking about. Jack Thompson doesn't actually play these games. Jack Thompson doesn't actually play these games all the way through to fruition. What he's looking for are things that are talking points to scare adults into making the legislation that he feels is necessary.
Yeah.
And, you know, scare tactics are the wrong way to go about it. They really are. Because I'm not going to argue. Like I've said, I think that the ESRB needs to be reformed. But I've written a piece on, you know, how easy it would be if they just made ratings clearer. That's all. Because what I think is stupid is that we have a rating that's E for everyone. And then we have a rating that's AO. That's supposed to be adult only. Okay? But there are some people that think Ayo means anyone.
Yeah. Ayo!
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Then you have E plus 10, which is supposed to be everyone as long as they're, you know, got enough experience to be like a 10-year-old and above.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what's the difference between the experience level of a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old? I mean, isn't that kind of subjective? What if my 7-year-old's very responsible? What if my 10-year-old's very irresponsible? What if my 10-year-old's just a retard? Where's the rating for that? You know, so yes, I think that the rating system could stand to be reviewed. I think that the ESRB is totally understaffed. I'd love to see them actually have more money to have more staff to, you know, kind of like game developers do and have game testers to test levels. I think that the ESRB should have more people on hand to actually play through these games. Now, there are some people that think that Rockstar kind of backpedaled on the game and made it what it is now as opposed to making it, you know, you're a bully and bashing people's heads. But I kind of have to think that the people at Rockstar are not retarded. And
they know what they're doing.
And after the stuff that happened with Columbine and teen violence and things like that, I hardly believe that they would make a game about beating up teachers and students and kids. I mean, it's one thing to slap a hoe. It's another, you know, to beat your math teacher with a bat. I sincerely doubt that that stuff was actually in the game. But
actually, I don't know if the game I'm thinking about was by Rockstar, but there is this one game where you pretty much, you create a character, you know, and, like, they're like, creepy. And you pretty much go around, and you get points on how you kill people. I don't think Rockstar releases it, but there are some games that,
you
know.
I know which one you're talking about.
And my friends were talking about that at lunch the other day, and I'm like, he's like, I totally tore off this guy's arm, and then, like, I, like, set him on fire. And I'm like, you're sick.
Mm.
Those of us who don't play those games and all that, you know, there's no risk of us doing any of that. The people who are
I know, I want to go and, like, rip somebody's arm off and then set them on fire, because, you know, that's what totally goes through my mind every day.
Yeah, so it's not like everybody is being exposed to this game.
I played Serious Sam. I played every Mortal Kombat game on the planet. I love God of War. I think Kratos is awesome, and if he was real, I would want to bear his children. However, I've never been arrested. I've never gotten into any kind of really awful, bad physical entanglement. I never killed anyone. I've never shot anyone. I've never wanted to shoot anyone. So to try and make a case that violent video games make people violent, I think is just bull.
BS. Yeah, the only reason there are statistics that say that people who do violence play violent games is because people who want to rip people's arms off aren't going to play My Little Pony.
And they're not going to play Hello Kitty Treasure Island Adventure.
No, they're
not.
They're
not going to admit it.
Okay, so it's all screwed. I mean, I could come up with an article next week and do some research and pull out numbers and statistics that will prove that if you actually are a Hello Kitty fan, your IQ is actually higher because you're surrounded by colors and environments that are softer and more conducive to you retaining information. It wouldn't be difficult. It's bullshit, but it wouldn't be difficult to do it. So pick the right angle.
Bullshit.
You know, pick the right angle, pick the right spot, and do the right thing.
I could find heroes that would make people believe that WoW players should go in the army because of our tactics. I probably could find it, too.
I'm sure you could. Because
totally true. You probably could, but it...
Because with the amount of time that you guys actually spend playing the game and not sleeping, that would be great for night ops.
Hey, I've gotten really good. I only play for 4 hours a day now. I've cut back.
Yeah, that is a huge cutback for you.
Yeah.
But in any case, what we need, though, is somebody to combat what the Jack Thompsons of the world are bringing out with the actual facts of what gaming really is, what it's not, what it's about. Yes, the ESRB needs to have some kind of restructuring, but I don't think it's anything that should come from the federal level, and I don't think that it should be something that politicians run on, but I guarantee you it will be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, Rick Santorum got in on this crap, and he's a huge dick. He doesn't know shit.
Wait, did you say Santorum?
Yes, I did. That's his name.
Okay.
And he is full of shit.
Okay.
I recommend to any of our listeners, go ahead, Google Rick Santorum's name and look at some of the wonderful things that have come out of that man's mouth. And then remember, he's actually a senator.
Oy.
Rick Santorum is the reason why people need to vote and take it seriously. But anyway, that's another podcast.
Another podcast.
I think this one's toast.
I think this one's toast, too. All right. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Deuce, what do you think? Toast?
I think it's done. Yeah, okay. It's about to pop out of the toaster.
Yeah, yeah. Well, me personally...
I think I smell smoke, actually.
See, this is what happens when you let Pandalicious run the toaster oven.
Hey! I'm really good with cooking now, sort of.
Making toast, not cooking.
In yeah. my world, it is.
See? You see? Personally, I'm going to take my toast, and I'm actually going to just put jelly on it. I got some really good strawberry jelly with no seeds. So good.
Yummy.
That's what I'm going to do with my toast.
What about you, Magic? What do you do with your toast?
I'm going to... just make some regular toast with butter, but I'm going to eat it with a noodle bowl, which
Ooh.
Is like, I found this stuff. There's two brands, Simply Asia and
Thai
Kitchen.
I love Simply Asia.
And they make noodle bowls, but it's like, it's, I swear to God, it's like fancy ramen. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, their sesame teriyaki is yummy. Simply Asia.
I really like the Kung Pao one.
Yeah, the Kung Pao one is good, but I like the sesame one better. I'm just like, ooh, put my little seeds on it. Yummy, yummy.
Right. Well, I'm all about spicy stuff, so.
Juice!
I think I'm going to take my toast, put peanut butter on it, pour some syrup on it. I haven't done that in a while.
Peanut butter
wow.
and syrup.
That is good.
That sounds good.
That sounds good. I used to, when I was a little kid, I used to do peanut butter and apricot.
Oh. Ooh. That sounds
gotta
good.
Try, you gotta try it with syrup. Peanut butter.
Gonna, yeah,
syrup.
Dude,
syrup
I'm gonna do that. That sounds yeah. delicious. Pandalicious, what about you? What about your toast?
I'm going to actually
Uh-oh.
Put some cheese in the middle of it,
Ooh.
Grill it a little bit more,
Ooh.
And give it to the kid because I'm going to taste the Asia now, so I'm getting some Japanese food.
Okay, all right. Well, in any case, you got to keep hitting us up on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com or esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. We're going to be transitioning to that, just listing that one all the time now, because if you put it in a regular browser, it'll bounce you to Electric Sisterhood. That way you can tell your friends and put it in an email. It's a lot shorter. And if you have a cell phone that has a web browser, you can actually get the quick hits on the recent posts on the website and read them on your little phone, you know, a line at a time. I don't recommend it, but hey, you know, we gotta have the bases covered because we love you that much. Also,
we do.
Don't forget to keep checking out the website. We just added an About Us section, and we're gonna be updating it very shortly with some profiles of your favorite ESH crew member.
Like
I
me!
Saw that. I saw that section. Anxious.
Yeah, so we
since everybody wants to know about us, I think it's about time that we gave them a little bit.
Yeah, we'll give you a little taste.
A little taste.
Keep hitting us up. We love the attention. We love the love. And it's because of you that our traffic is where it's at right now. I'm not going to tell you what the numbers are, but they're big people. Our numbers hung like a horse. In any case, I'm Ninja Sista.
I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Magic Mystic Girl.
And we want to thank Deuce as well for being part of this very special Skypecast ESH podcast episode.
Thank you very much, Deuce. Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
And we're out.
And we're out.
And we're out.